Daniel chapter number 3. This past year, we've been looking at this theme, Declare His Glory. And there's been a lot of people we've looked at, and a lot of different themes and a lot of thoughts here. Tonight, we'd like to think of this, declaring the glory of God's faithfulness. As we come to this last spot that we're going to be in this series of declaring His glory, there's a lot of things that we could have talked about, a lot of things that we haven't covered. When you pick a theme or when you led to a theme, there's always a long list of things you'd like to talk about. A lot of stories that we looked at, like David, and we talked about even Daniel. We're going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tonight. We think about Mordecai. We also think about how we looked at the mothers that declare the glory of God and the fathers that declare the glory of God. A number of different things we've looked at throughout this past year. But tonight I'd like to look at the faithfulness of God and how through this story we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where there were some things they did that declared the glory of God's faithfulness. Now, we could have spent time looking at Abraham. We never got a chance to look at Abel or Ruth or Noah or Samuel or Joshua and Caleb outside the promised land. We think about even the disciples with the religious leaders. So some of those things we're going to bring in tonight as we think about the faithfulness of God. To go over a couple things, let's remind ourselves of a couple definitions. The word declare means to make known. It means to tell explicitly, to manifest or commune plainly to others. So with this idea of declare His glory, saying that we want to make the world to know. We want everyone to explicitly know whose side we're on. We want people to manifest and communicate to others very plainly that we want to love our God and demonstrate the glory of God through our lives. So how do you do that? Well, what's the word glory mean? We talk about how glory references magnificence, the beauty of God and the splendor of God in all He does. So in our lives, we can demonstrate and we can declare and we can let the whole world know, let individuals know it explicitly that we belong to God and that through our lives, we want to demonstrate the beauty of God and the things of God and what God has done and how God has brought things to our lives. And so how do we do that? Tonight, when we consider the faithfulness of God, and we know He's faithful, He's got promise after promise in the Bible, He's never lied to us, He has always been faithful, He's always been there, He's always been good. So how do we declare the glory of God's faithfulness? How do we, like the psalmist when he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. How do we as a people declare the faithfulness of God? How do we make it known to others? How do we tell people explicitly that we think the beauty of God's faithfulness, and how do we relate that to others? Lamentations is one of my favorite passages when it talks about the faithfulness of God. It says, of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We have a very, very faithful God. And as we consider beginning a new year, you know, this is a time where we like to think about the things we didn't do or did do this past year. And we look up and forward in the future. And I want to encourage you tonight, we can serve God and we can live for God in this upcoming year because we've seen that He's been faithful to us. He was faithful to us this past year. He's been faithful to us always. So we're going to look here in Daniel chapter number 3, and there's three things here tonight. I like to say that these are things that declare the glory of God's faithfulness. These are things that demonstrate God's faithfulness. It's by faithfully living for Him, no matter what the circumstance is. And then most of us know a little bit about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've taught through Daniel before. It's been a few years since we've done that. But in this passage of Scripture, there is three young men here that declare God's faithfulness because they're willing, number one, to take a stand. Number two, they're willing to give a testimony. And number three, they are faithful despite the trials that happen. Let's go ahead and look at Daniel chapter number 3. Let's look at this first point. We declare God's faithfulness when we take a stand. We declare God's faithfulness when we take a stand. Look what it says in verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits. Now, a couple things here. Remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had back in chapter number 2. And we remember that Daniel was able to interpret that dream when no one else was. And that when it says 80 cubits, that's referring to 60 cubits. That's 90 feet tall. You can imagine 90 feet high is huge. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to make to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. So he takes this huge idol or statue, whatever you want to call it, it's an idol, and he calls all the important people out and says, I want you to come, I want you to worship with me. I want you to worship this idol. I want you to worship this statue. We're going to dedicate this statue. And inside of his court, or inside these high ups, is three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We were introduced to them back in Daniel chapter number 1. So he brings them out to this plane. He said, well, why in the world is this happening? Well, what I'm thinking he's doing, he's trying to teach these leaders in these areas so they can take it and teach those that were under them. So he brings all the important people together in verse number 2. Verse number 3, then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations and languages. Now, this is kind of interesting that he wants them to worship, but he's commanding them to do it. So it's not by choice. They're being forced to worship this. Verse number 5, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king have set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, worship is in its purest form is that we see something that's worthy of praise. We see something that is worthy of honor, and we take and we praise it. Now, there he's saying, I want you to worship it. And if you don't worship it, I'm going to cast you into the fiery furnace. It really, truly isn't worship. And when we come together, even with our own worship of the Lord, when we feel like we have to do it out of obligation, it's not true worship. You know, in John chapter 4, it talked about how God the Father seeking those who would worship him and truly worship him in spirit and truth. It's important with our worship that we make sure it's done in the right way. Nebuchadnezzar is trying to force them to worship. Verse number 7, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, and all the people in the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now, their accusation is the fact that they didn't bow down. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods and worship not the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then he asks this question, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now at this point of the service to sincerely just ask you to help. Lord, I ask you to help me. Lord, I know I need your help. I rely on you and your strength, Lord, to give me the words that you once said. In a familiar passage of scripture that many of us know, Lord, we see these men that are inspired by your faithfulness. We see these men that are willing to take a stand, to give testimony of you, and be faithful even to the point of death. Lord, I pray that you encourage us tonight. Lord, as we live our lives, we live in a way that is found faithful. And as we are faithful, we are giving testimony of God's faithfulness in our lives. Now we're declaring to the rest of the world, we believe that God is faithful and that we can live a life no matter what the consequences, no matter what the results are, because we trust God and we trust his faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's three things I want you to see here. Three things I think that could help us. And when we take a biblical stand for God and we take a biblical stand for his word, we're declaring to the world that we believe that God is faithful and that God can take care of us no matter what the stand is. We come to the spot in this story, and I like this story. I love this story. I even wrote some papers in it when it was in college time. And there's just so much in it that we can't get too far and too deep into it. But I do want you to understand that when I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before what is the most powerful man alive at that moment in time, I see them saying to him, look, I need to take this stand. I'm standing before God. They weren't worried about standing before a king. They were worried about the fact that they were also standing in the presence of God, because God's presence fills the earth, the fullness of the earth. And they were saying that even though you're asking me, even though you're demanding, even though you're telling me, even though you're threatening me with death, if I do not do this, I cannot do this before my God. And I want you to understand, when we take stands for God and we believe in God and we trust in God and we trust in God's faithfulness and we take a stand on his word, we declare to those that are around us, hey, I think God is faithful. I believe God is faithful and I believe God is worthy of his service. I see this man and how the Hebrews refuse to worship the image. It's not an act of disloyalty toward the king personally. And that's how they feel. He gets mad. You see in a couple of different places, he has rage. Later on, it talks about his full of fury in verse number 19. These people dare question Nebuchadnezzar. But the problem is, Nebuchadnezzar did not understand. They were not trying to be disloyal to them, but instead, in recognition to a higher power, they were obedient to their God, which had revealed himself to them earlier in the book, and also when God told him that they should not set any other type of image before them. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto them, to the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. See, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remember way back when they were in Jerusalem, and they learned these things. They learned these things probably from their priests and from their parents. And then we read and studied earlier a few years ago how Nebuchadnezzar came and he took away the best and he took away the brightest. And that group was Daniel, and it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he took them far, far away from their homeland, probably where they would never see their parents again, never see their grandparents again, never see their priest again. They could live for the world as much as they wanted to. He took them away from all the godly influences, brings them to this foreign and this wicked land, and says, we're going to try to indoctrinate you. We're going to try to make you Babylonians. We're going to try to make you worship and serve our gods and worship and serve our emperor. And despite the fact that they were in a faraway land, these young men are taking a stand for God. They were saying, you know what? I believe God is faithful. They learn in Exodus chapter number 20, they learn from the Ten Commandments that they were not supposed to bow down, they were not supposed to worship any other false god or any type of image. And they said, we will not do this. They chose to take a stand. And I believe when we take a stand, we declare to God and declare to the rest of the world that we believe in him, we believe in his truths. There's a couple of things I want you to think about considering their stand that they're taking. You know, I'm sure these are just thoughts. You don't see them actually recorded in the Word of God, but I think some of these make common sense. Number one, if someone's building a 90-foot tall idol, I think you're going to find out about it. I think you're going to know sooner or later that you hear about the construction of it. It's kind of hard to do a 90-foot idol in secret. I think these young men knew what was going to come, and someday they were going to have to take a stand, and someday they were going to have to say, I'm going to stand for the Lord, and I'm not going to bow down to that idol. Another thing I want you to think about inside this, even though it's not written here, but I can imagine if, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been brought up to a high position, and we know from some of that from chapter 1 and chapter number 2, I'm sure there was other Jews there that day. I'm sure inside that group, what their responsibility was, they were taking the best and they were taking the brightest. They wanted to indoctrinate them. They wanted to make them Babylonians. They wanted to make them the heads of different areas. And those, there's probably other Jews sitting there. But how come there's only three there that are standing? Some things we got to understand when it comes to taking a stand for God. We must remember that the decision is not made at that moment. The decision is made ahead of time when we purpose in our heart that we're going to take a stand for God. We believe in God and we believe in His faithfulness. And when we are confronted with the Nebuchadnezzars of the world, or when we're confronted with the devil as he tries to stir up the heat and try to make things harder and tougher in our lives, we've made a decision. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to do things God's way. I'm not going to do things the way the rest of the world's going to do it. I'm not going to do things no matter, even if people who came over with me, even if people who grew up with me, even if there's people who look like me and act like me, even if they do it, I'm still going to stand for God. And I'm going to purpose that in my heart. The Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And it says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. We must learn to do all we can and then stand for the word of God. There is a little side note I want to make sure you understand too, is we need to make sure that we're standing on the word of God too. There are people all around us that will try to get us to stand on preferences that are not clear Bible teaching. We need to be very careful that what we get is from the Word of God. There are some things that are worth dying for. There are some things worth fighting for. There are some things worth fussing over. But we need to make sure that it's grounded in the Word of God. You think about the stand that Caleb and Joshua made outside the Promised Land. And I love that story, how they took a stand, and despite there was over, probably over a million people over there saying, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb says, we can do it. They were all God's people. They had all experienced all the same things. And they said, you know what? We can do it. You think about the disciples with the religious leaders. They took him and put him in prison for healing that man in Acts chapter number 3. And they're trying to get him to be quiet. And what do? They take a stand. You think about the stand that we looked at earlier in the year about Nehemiah and how he did not stand with the compromisers. We think about the stand that David took when everyone else was afraid. We think about the stand that Elijah took against the prophets of Baal. We think about the stand that Daniel took repetitively in the Bible. And we learned that a few months ago, how to make other people declare God's glory. Because you saw Nebuchadnezzar on the face praising God. You saw Darius on his face praising God. You even saw Belteshazzar giving praise to God. We need to understand that if we truly ever want to declare God's glory, it comes with taking a stand for what is right. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. They stand here, and even Nebuchadnezzar comes to them and says to them at the end of verse number 15, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He did not know God. And the rest of the world that are around us, many of them do not know God. And as we talked about this past Christmas season, it is the greatest gift. As Jesus looked at that woman, we learned about the Samaritan woman at the well this past week. He says, if ye knew the gift of God, you would ask for it. He looked at that woman and says, you don't even know who's talking to you. You do not know the gift of God. You do not understand the gift of God. Because you do not know and because you do not understand, you do not ask for it. He even says that you don't know who's even talking to you. And I'm here to tell you that there would be more people who would accept. There would be more people who would believe. There would be more people who would understand the gift of God and understand the things of God if we would learn to take a stand for Him and be able to tell others about Him. First thing I want you to see, we declare God's faithfulness when we take a stand. Next thing I want you to see is we declare God's faithfulness when we testify of His faithfulness. We declare God's faithfulness when we testify. Now, in verses 14 through 18, Nebuchadnezzar is interrogating them. Verse number 15, he gives them another chance. He can't believe that these three guys that he has promoted up from chapter number 1, they got a good position. Chapter number 2, Daniel got a good position, but he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. He cannot believe that these three guys will not listen after all that they have done for him. And we got to understand, when we have friends, when we have people that around us that we like, and the people that have even helped us before in the past, there's sometimes we still got to take a stand. And not only do they take a stand when they get the opportunity and when they are questioned, because when you're taking a stand, you know what's going to happen? Many times people are going to question you because they do not understand that God that would be able to deliver them, because they do not understand the love and the loyalty and the holiness of the God that we serve. Look what it says in verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they testify of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, this idea is not careful to answer thee in the matter means that they have carefully weighed the consequences of refusing to obey the king. They had counted the cost and are now being careful, not being careful in giving an answer. In other words, they are not concerned for their own well-being in answering the king. You need to make that decision ahead of time. Are we going to stand with God? Are we going to stand with his word? Are we going to be faithful? Standing sometimes is not enough. When you get a chance to testify of his goodness, when you get a chance to testify of his faithfulness, that will declare the glory of God. And look what he says in verse 17. If it be so, he says, we're not worried about what's going to happen to us. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He says, our God is capable. Our God is able. What are they doing? They're declaring the glory of God. They are clearly making it known. They are explicitly telling Nebuchadnezzar and telling the rest of the group of the people that are there, the lords and the leaders of many different areas and many different people and nations, we want you to understand something. We serve God. We take a stand with God. And he is able. He is faithful. He is strong enough. He is able to do this. He says here, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They declare his glory. They says, he is that great of a God. You don't know him. You never heard of a God that can do that, but our God can. And he says, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. One way or another, he was going to be delivered out of the king of Nebuchadnezzar's hand. In verse number 18, but if not, they're saying they're going to be faithful to God one way or another. They give testimony. He says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You think about some of the people we talked about earlier that gave testimony. Remember when Caleb and Joshua was there outside the promised land? What did Caleb do? It says that he stilled the people. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was saying, hey, you know what? Our God is able to do this. Caleb and Joshua was saying, you know what? Our God's been faithful through all this time. He is well able. He is more than able. He is more than capable. It's giving testimony of God. If we truly want to declare his faithfulness, we have to live it. We take a stand and then we testify of his goodness. Think about what in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 20, when the religious leaders were sitting there and they were interrogating and threatening disciples. All they said was, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You think about David when he was standing before Saul and Saul says, you can't go fight that. What does David do? No, God helped me with the bear. God helped me with the lion. God's going to help me with this. When you take a stand for God, you're going to testify of him. You're going to let people know, I believe God. I trust God. If it's on him and his word, and if you're led by God to take a stand, you'll get the chance to give a testimony. Think about Elijah against the prophets of Baal. They're sitting there. He says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You have a choice or who you're going to serve. Will you declare God's glory by taking a stand and giving a testimony of him? That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is doing here. Next thing we see here, not only is it about testifying him and taking a stand, it's remaining faithful during the trials. Verses 19 and 20, it says, then when Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and Nebuchadnezzar was kind of a crazy man. I know what happened in chapter number 4, he was given the heart of a beast, but you see some different things that he had done. I mean, the guy erected a 90-foot idol of himself. But he, in verse 13, he was in rage and in fury. Verse number 19, he's full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it want to be heated. So he's trying to intimidate them. When you take a stand for God and when you testify of God's goodness, he tries to scare them. In verse number 15, he gives them another chance. He says, you know what's going to happen to you. He tells them again. He gives them a chance to recant. He gives them a chance to repent of what they were doing. He gets them to try to even question that whether or not their God was able to. Then verse number 19, it says that he takes his fiery furnace, which it looks like it was an open furnace because Nebuchadnezzar could see in the furnace, and he saw in a little while, you can see the four men there. It says that they heated it up seven times. It wasn't necessary, but he does that. He's trying to intimidate them. He's trying to scare them. And it says to them, he says, and then he does in verse number 20, he says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. Now, these were the biggest and best. And this is not some little army. This was the Babylonian army. These were the biggest and the best. So he's getting these men to try and intimidate them. I want you to understand that the devil is going to do whatever he can to turn up the heat. When you take a stand, when you testify of God's goodness, and he's going to do whatever he can to get you not to be faithful. Because when you take a stand for God, you testify of God's goodness, when you turn your back on God, you know what you do? You give your enemies and God's enemies a chance to blaspheme them. You give a chance and you say, I'm going to be faithful to church, and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I know people fall. I know people fail. We're human and we're all sinners. And it's by the grace of God that any of that. But at the same time, if we truly want to declare God's glory, if we truly want to show the Nebuchadnezzars of the world and the mighty men of the world and those people around us that would be considered hard cases or even just our children, we must take a stand when necessary. We must learn to testify. But when it comes to hard times and hot times and difficult times, we stay faithful. We don't turn and we don't run. We don't criticize. We stay faithful to God. Here in 1 Peter 4:12, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." I use that verse because it's talking about a fiery furnace, but there's many verses in the Bible. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." They remain true to their stand. They remain true to their testimony. God takes care of them. Are you faithful through the hard times? Are you faithful when things get tough and when things get difficult? As we close up our thought of declaring his glory, there is so much about the glory of God that we haven't even scratched the surface of his beauty and his godliness and his holiness. But we can be faithful. We can serve him during this time. We can take stands for him, and we can testify of him, and we can count he is worthy of our faithfulness. So let's see what happened in the story here. Verse number 20, he says, and his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, before the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men which took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now imagine this. You know, these are the biggest and the brightest and the strongest men, the mighty men. They actually are killed when they are throwing in these men. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now look what it says here, verse 27. The princes and the governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together. So they run up to see what's going on. They're surprised by this. Saw these men upon whose body and the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed. I like this last one. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You think about the miraculous thing that happens here. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except for their own God." They understand the stand that they were taking. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. There's a couple things I'd like to draw your attention to, and then we'll be done. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they do? They declared God's glory. Because of their stand, because of their testimony, and because of their faithfulness. What do we declare with our lives? The stands that we're taking right now, and there are sometimes we take stands and we're just like, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to, and that we're really strong about it, but it doesn't declare the glory of God. It doesn't declare his faithfulness. It declares something about ourselves. I've been, in my Bible reading, I'm in 2 Corinthians, and I was surprised by how many times it talked about glory and talked about glorying in ourselves and talked about even the Apostle Paul when I was in 2 Corinthians 12 last night. He talked about how he was the guy that was called up and saw the heavens, and he did not want to glory in that. He didn't want to glory in anything but Jesus Christ. We like to glory in things sometimes. We like to declare and make known things about ourselves. Let's look at our own lives and say, what am I declaring? Am I declaring God's glory with the way I act, with the stands I take, with the testimonies I have, with the faith, the things I'm faithful to? When am I demonstrating to my families, my church families, my neighbors, my workers, by the things I say and the things I explicitly make known? Am I demonstrating a stand of faithfulness? Am I demonstrating that I believe God has been good to me over all these years by the things I say and how I act? When we turn around and we complain and we murmur against the things that are happening in our lives, are we telling the rest of the world, I believe God is good, and I believe God is faithful, I believe God's seen me through all this? You know, when those over a million Israelites who are over there saying, we can't go into the promised land, and Caleb and Joshua are saying, you know, they're stealing people. We are well able. We can do this. We can accomplish this. They're declaring God's glory. They're saying, I don't believe in God's faithfulness. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before Nebuchadnezzar saying, we're not careful to answer thee on this matter. They're declaring God's glory. They believe God will be faithful. Whether God joins them in that fiery furnace or not, or whether Nebuchadnezzar sees it or not, he says, I know my God is faithful. Even though the furnace is hot, and even though it might cost me my life, I believe in God's faithfulness. Is that what we declare with the way we live, how we talk, how we worship, how we serve, how we give? All those things, they tell a message. They declare something about our lives. And as we close up this idea of declaring his glory, many times our mouths declare something. But does it bring back an attraction to God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not ugly in their conversation. They were not disloyal to the king. They were not rude to the king. They just loved their God and respected their God more than they did the king. I want you to understand tonight and look at this and ask yourself, does my life declare the faithfulness of God? We believe he's faithful. We know he's faithful. He's been faithful. There's a whole book full of people and things he's been faithful. We sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we understand that and we know that. But do I believe he's going to be faithful to me tomorrow and the next day when I take my stand for him, when I testify him, when I remain faithful even during the hard times? What are we declaring with our lives? Sometimes I'm not happy with the things I declare, and I want to change that. I want to declare God's glory with my heart and my life. He's faithful. You can trust him, no matter what the situation is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show us that. Caleb and Joshua showed us that. The disciples with the religious leader show that. And we learned that time after time after time, God was faithful. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not save themselves from the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not even know for sure that God was going to save him. It didn't matter how God declared his own glory. They just had to be the vessel that God could use. You say, well, how can I declare the glory of God? All you had to do is be faithful. All you had to do is be obedient and then allow God to do the work in your heart and allow God to do the work in your life. You say, well, I would have stood up before God. I would have stood up against Nebuchadnezzar if I knew that was going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. All he's asking you to do is be faithful. And as you're faithful, you're declaring his faithfulness because you trust in him and you love him. What does our lives declare? Is it the faithfulness of God? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads.